Okay, let's now.
Brother Beam,
Yes.
if the first luchos, the Shivrei luchos, were also considered kadosh, they were Hashem's handiwork, and they were stored in the Aron as well. Whereas what you're referring to
No,
is the
no.
second set, which Moshe carved
Correct,
himself.
correct, correct. No, you're discussing the luchos of the first. I'm discussing now only the second set of
Okay.
luchos. The first set of luchos was made by Hashem. Ma'aseh Elokim hema, and the michtav was the michtav Elokim, but the luchos themselves were the ma'aseh Elokim. There was no pesoilas. The first set of tablets did not have any pesoilas. It was pure holiness. The second set of tablets was fashioned by Moshe Rabbeinu, was quarried by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it did have pesoilas. And that pesoilas, Hashem said to Moshe, keep for yourself. In contrast to what it says in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that the chips of an Avodah Zarah are usur as well. Okay, this is a side point. Let's take a look now at the Malbim. On these three psukim, pasuk tes, yud, and yud aleph. Okay, let me read it. Let me just read to you. I'll read to you the beginning of the Malam, then on the second part I'll put up on the screen. But the first part is very short. You don't have this. I'm just going to read it to you. Return to lemar v'im kain. Halaya betza shabotza hu ra lebesa shal yidei kach yecha besa mamlachtoi umafariya shal yidei shereitza losum bambarim kinoi. Okay, this is very, very, it's very simplistic. He's not really saying anything over here. Okay, I'll leave that. Okay, let's see. Now we're up to pasuk yud and the Malbim yud and yud aleph. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to even put up a picture because he doesn't really just, it's very, very short. Yu'atzta letachle zed losum bambarim kinecha. Okay, let's leave this. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, he leads into Pasuk Yud Beis. So it's not really necessary to read that. But what I do want to do with you is, I do want to do with you the, there's a very nice Maamar Chazal, which I'll put up on the screen right now. Okay, this Maamar Chazal, we touched upon it yesterday, but it's a little bit different than what we said yesterday. Okay, you see over here on the bottom of the page, the Likutei Shas Umidrashi Hatanoim. Ki Even Mikir Tizok Vichafis Me'etz Yanena. Now here he says, Bizman Shat Sibor Shabitzar Al Yem Adam. It's a very interesting chazal. And it's very relevant for us today. Today is a Zman when the Tzibor is Sharui Bitzar. Bizman shat sibuchar bitzar al yoimar odom, a person should not say, Eilech libesi v'oichal v'eshtev v'sholom olayich, nafshi. You know what? Who cares? Who gives a hoot that everyone is suffering? As long as I am okay, as long as everything is fine by me, that's all that counts. I will go to my home, I'll eat, I'll drink, there'll be peace upon me. Ella, the correct approach is, Yitzaer odom imat sibu. The correct thing a person should do is to be mishtatef in the tsar of the tzibur. V'chol hametzaer atzmoy im hatzibur zoiche v'roye b'necham hatzibur. It's a very beautiful chazal. Any person that applies themselves to feel the pain of the tzibur will merit to see the comfort of the tzibur. V'shema toima yoimar odom mi made me. Who's going to test? Who knows? Who cares? Who knows? Sheineni mitzta'er matzibor. Avnei beisoy shel odom v'koyros beisoy shel odom mi'idim boi. In the end of days, this is a very scary chazal. And even though it's said over here in this essence, but the truth is it's said in regard to every single thing that a person does, that a person is always being watched. This is an amazing thing. Chazal were 2,000 years ahead of their time. Today we know good and well that we are being watched. I'm sitting here in this room and there's a camera watching me. Okay, you also, you're sitting in front of your computer, you're being watched. We live in a world today that we know good and well, and you walk out into the street, everything you say and do is recorded. And even in your home, you may not even realize who is spying on you. For all we know, our telephones, who all we know, this technology and the telephones that are spying on us, who knows? But we appreciate that every single thing that we do is recorded, and is recorded both visually and sound. Chazal already said 2,000 years ago that the beams, the stone, and the beams of our own home are recording our every action. Maybe they knew something we did not know. Somehow they knew that in stone and wood have technology built in to record everything that it sees and hears. And the day will come, Bimos HaMashiach, Yom HaDin, when it will be called into the courtroom to testify against us, the wood and stone of our own homes. And we will be in shock. And we will say, what? How did these things record? How did these things know? Okay, it's a shocking thing. Chazal were 2,000 years ahead of their time. They said the Avne, the third line down, the Avne Beisoy Shel Adam, the Koyros Beisoy Shel Adam, Mi Idin Boy Shenemar, Ki Even, Mi Kir, Tizok, V'Chafis, Me Eitz Yanena. The day will come when the stone will cry out and the splinter of the beam will testify, will respond. The Bay, so it's an incredible thing over here. So even though this Pasuk over here, the Pshat of the Pasuk is describing Nebuchadnezzar, and is describing that the stones of his palace and the beams of his palace are complaining that we are stolen. This man has built his legacy, has built his malchus, his dynasty, upon a foundation of gezel, of illicit gain. But the drasha is not discussing the Nebuchadnezzar. It's speaking to every single one of us and reminding us that every single one of our actions is recorded by the walls of our home, and that when the day of reckoning will come, they will stand up and testify against us, recording our every single deed. And then Chazal, and this was said in reference to what? The first Chazal, in reference to something very specific, and that is to be mishtatef in the tsar of the tzibur. How many times do we sit at home and we look on the screen and we read bad news? This person died. That person died, this one is sick, that one is sick, and we just scroll down. We keep on scrolling down, we couldn't care less. But when it comes time to go to shul, where you go and you give a drasha, when you speak publicly, or when you meet your friend, oy, how terrible, this one died, that one died, this one is suffering, this one lost his job, this one has this problem and that problem. In public, we make believe that we're mishtatef in the tsar of the tzibur. But in private, who cares? Keep on scrolling down the screen. And we say to ourselves, listen, it's enough that in public, we make believe that we care about someone else's suffering. This Maimon Chazal is telling us something extremely frightening, that there is a tevia. The Ribbono Shel Olam demands from us that we should have empathy and express pain privately when we hear about someone's misfortune. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. It's a shocking thing. And it goes so far to say that Hashem wants us to feel the pain of another person privately, to the degree where He warns us that the stones and beams of our own home are recording and watching our every action. Unbelievable. Ad kedei kach. Then we have another Chazal, which is something more run-of-the-mill. And here it says over here, Debei, Rabbi Shila Amri Shnei Malachi Ashores Hamalavin Loy LaAdam Hein Midin Olav. He says, no, maybe Enoch and Ami, Maybe the technology of the stone and the wood is not so sophisticated. Maybe they do not record and hear, but there are certainly angels that accompany a person, and they will be the ones who will one day testify against us. The Shnei Malachi Hasharis, the Malav Miladam, Midna Lov, Shenemar, Ki Malachav Yitzavloch, Hashem commands, the Malachav will command them. Rabbi Chidka Omer, Nishmasai Shal Adam, Hi Midna Lov. Your own Nishama, Shenemar, Mishaycheves Chaykecha, that which lies in your bosom, Shemar will guard Pischei Picha. The Neshama is guarding what comes out of your mouth, meaning it's watching. It's watching and listening. V'yeishem, some say, v'ayim shalodem minaboy, a person's limbs, shenemar atem edayin num Hashem, you are my witnesses, so says Hashem. And in the context of this pasuk, Hashem is speaking to a person's evadim. So what do we take out of this Maimon Chazal? Chazal always tell us that it's a very good idea to reduce everything in life to a number. Lama nikru talmidei chachamim seifrim, they count. They like to count the letters of the Torah. The bottom line is, who in the future will testify against us? Specifically, from all the different things that it's telling us to testify against us, this Chazal opens up by testifying regarding the fact that we don't have empathy, the pain of another person privately. It's just shocking what it says here. You would think that if Chazal want to go and discuss the different items that are watching and are recording our every move, it would be in regard to the Averois and the mitzvahs. Did you daven shachris today? You didn't go to a minyan, I assume not. So you davened at home. So did you daven with kavana? Did you read all the words? Did you skip? So the walls of your home are going to testify if you davened the good shachris, right? That's what we would expect this chazal to describe when we want to describe the different items that are recording our every move. We would never expect chazal to apply this principle of the wood and the stone of our homes are watching us. You're being watched regarding, are we mishtatef in the pain of another person privately? When you read online, this person died, this person is sick, what's your gut reaction? Keep on going down the screen. Next. What else happened in the news today? What did Trump say today? What did Cuomo say today? What did Little Rocket Man do today? Right? Keep on going. Oh, a guy died? A guy across the street died? A guy that this rabbi died? Who cares? What else is new? No. It says here, Chazal say, there are four different items that are watching you, are recording your every move regarding how much you care about someone else's suffering, b'chadrei chadarim, in your bunker, buried in the belly of the earth. And what are the four things? Number one, the wood and stone, the most inanimate object that ever existed. A doimim, piece of wood and stone, that's going to testify. Opinion number two, angels, something very mystical. You see angels? I don't see any angels. Maybe you see the angels. Number three, yourself, your own neshama. Would you believe it? Your own neshama, la'asilava, is going to get up and going to testify about yourself. You're going to testify. And number four, your limbs, your body, evarim, your own body, your own physical body is going to testify. Obviously, there's something very, very deep here. I wish I had a deeper understanding of what this means. It's like a maral. A maral would go and give you, like a maral, a pachan yitzchak type of sefer would elaborate upon this, the four different items, what they refer to, what different concepts they refer to, which are going to ultimate bear testimony against you. This resonates with me for one very simple, with something very relevant, something very recently that happened, and last week, someone that I knew passed away, a boy who had Down syndrome. He was 35 years old. His name was Sadia Aaron Price. I told you about this. I wasn't here one day. It was exactly 1 week ago. 1 week ago on Wednesday was the Levaya. I went to the Levaya. So there was a Rebbe. The Rebbe there said a story. I love this story. This story, to me, it captures everything about the person, and it captures a lot about special needs children with Down syndrome. And it's a very simple story. And in fact, there's going to be an article in the FJJ tomorrow that's going to highlight this story. I saw the article already. It's going to highlight the story. The story is, it was said by the Levaya. Rabbi Feintach was the Rebbe. He's a Rebbe for this boy, YU, Yeshiva University. They did an incredible chesed, beyond belief. They created a program together with another organization called Makar. I think it's unprecedented. I don't know for sure, where they basically took special need adults, okay, basically Down syndrome, other conditions, other genetic conditions, but high function adults of special needs, and they created for them a learning program, a real learning program. Well, they teach them Gemara. It's really remarkable. I'm not sure there's any program like this anywhere in the world. Like a real program, a real learning. Mamash Gemara. They learn with them the real deal, to try to make them feel like they're real people. Okay, so the Rebbe says, so this he had a Rebbe, and the Rebbe got married. The young is a young boy, and the Rebbe got married, and Sadia came to the wedding. And at the wedding, they were dancing. They were dancing Kidarka in front of the Chasen Kala. So this boy, Sadi, comes there, and he gets into the middle, and he pushes everyone to the side. He pushed them all to the side. And then after the whole center is clear, he was a very big guy. So when he pushes you, he moves, he's physically very, very strong. He's very, very strong. He pushed everyone to the side, and he stood in the center, and then he makes a declaration. It's Sadia's turn. It's Sadia's turn. And then he began to dance. He danced, whatever, he danced the way he dances. It struck me, it really hit me when he said this story, because the few times that I interacted with him, it was exactly that. And it's not just him. It's a lot of these type of special children where they look at themselves as an outsider. He didn't say, it's my turn. It's my turn. I. Obama's favorite word is I. Okay, Obama, when he makes a speech, there's no president in the United States, in the history of the United States, that says the word I as many times as Obama said the word I. And there's no president in the United States that congratulates himself like Trump. We have two record-breaking presidents in a row. Obama for the I's, And Trump, who congratulated himself 600 times in the last number of meetings and since Corona and all of his press conferences about coronavirus, he congratulated himself approximately 600 times. What a great job he's doing. And Obama said, I. Sadia never ever said the word I. He did better. He referred to himself in third person. Here I am. It's Sadia's turn. He viewed himself, his body, separate than himself. Got to think about this. It's very, very profound. It's very, very deep. And it's very, very common to children, to special needs children, specifically children of Down syndrome. They don't look at themselves like we do. When we look at ourselves, we say, I, here I am, I'm myself. They have this ability to naturally separate who they really are from their body. They separate their neshama from their body. They remove. So he goes into the circle, he pushes everyone away, and then he says, as an outsider, as if he's standing on a chair from outside the room, and says, now it's Sadia's turn to dance. It's an amazing principle. Okay, and it's so true. That's really when I communicated with him, he looked at himself as here. I'm here, but I'm not here. I see myself as an outsider. Chazal tell us, "Ein adam meir al atzmai." A person cannot testify about himself. If you come to court, you're the plaintiff, or you're the defendant. You're the defendant. They say you committed a crime. So, excuse me, judge, I didn't commit a crime. I now want to testify in front of your honor that I did not commit a crime. I did not do this. So why doesn't the judge listen to the defendant? The answer is, you know, Gambadover, you can't testify about yourself. A Down syndrome child can testify about himself. A Down syndrome child has the ability to separate himself from his body. This body did not commit the crime. It's an amazing concept. And what's so amazing is, that's exactly what this Chazal says. This Chazal says that La'osid Lavoi, not La'osid Lavoi, at the Yom Hadin, the guf and the neshama separate. And when they take the person's body, the gashmius element of a person, and they put it on trial, and they say, did you commit this crime? Did you really do this avera? Did you really steal? Did you really do this? So the neshama is an outsider. And the neshama says, yeah, let me testify. Let me give you an objective testimony. The neshama committed the crime. This body, the body committed the crime. That's right. The body committed the crime. A person's neshama itself will testify. This really connects with the other one. One of the other maspidim. It had a very big effect on me. This Levi, for some reason, one of the other maspidim, he said, Rabbi Penner at the Levi, he is the dean of Yeshiva University of the Beis Medrash. He's like the mashkiach, what you would call a mashkiach in a regular yeshiva. So he said that Sadia, he didn't really die because he was never really here. It's a very strange thing to say. It's a very bizarre thing to say. He never really left us because he was never here to begin with. What does that mean exactly? It means that these type of children, there's something different about them. Their body is here. Their neshama seemingly is here. But the neshama never really entered all the way into their body. It's a very profound hesped. The neshama of these type of special needs children never fully entered into their guf. They never made it all the way in. And therefore, in essence, that's why they talk about themselves in third person. When we leave this world, we really separate from our bodies. And then we break up the parts. And this Chazal is a very frightening Chazal. This Chazal has broken up the parts, has broken up all the parts. And on the Yom Hadin, there are four parts. There is our environment, the wood and the stone of the environment that will come before the Ribbono Shel Olam and testify our behavior. And then there are going to be the spiritual forces in this world, the Malachim, that are hanging out all over the place, which we don't see, which are invisible to us. And then there's us, and we are divided into two parts. There is the neshama, and there is the limbs, the guf of the Adam himself. Okay, it's an incredible Maimon Chazal to break up the observers. Who is listening? Who is watching? Four different eavesdropping devices are guarding all of us. Chazal 2,000 years ago already composed the most spooky science fiction movie or novel for us. We think, oh, now there's infringement on our privacy, privacy laws, HIPAA laws. No one is allowed to know. No one's allowed to know anything about us. And yet they're listening, they're watching, they can trace our every move. It is totally, totally not to be believed what is going on, what technology knows about us. It's so spooky. Yesterday I went home. I came here to the shul to say the shir, and they threw me out because they're doing the floors. I went home in haste, and I left my smartphone here in the shul. So what do? I go to the computer, and I type in the computer, where is my phone? And in a half a second, there's a blinking light on the screen, and it shows me the YI of Midwood. My phone is in the YI of Midwood. I left it here. Isn't that spooky? And it was exactly just typing on the computer, where is my phone? How did it know that? I never did anything. I never set anything up to tell it to do that, yet it knows. Chazal 2,000 years ago said, guess what? Everything you do and you say, you hear, is recorded by the stones, by the wooden stone, by the malachim, by your own neshama and your own physical body. And they will come back one day to haunt you for any avera. And of course, reward you for any mitzvah. Now, let us go further. There is over here a gra, but I would like to go ahead because we're running out of time. Okay, let's move ahead a little bit. Pasuk Yudbeis. Okay, we're up to the text. Pasuk Yudbeis. Hoy boi ne'ir bedamim v'choynein kirya ba'avla. Okay, we're going to see a lot of discussion as to what exactly is Pasuk Yudbeis discussing. Notice we have in our Mesorah a samach separating Pasuk Yud Aleph and Pasuk Yud Beis. We have a parsha stuma. It's like a new paragraph, which leads us to assume that we're now beginning a new section, a new topic. The prophecy of Habakkuk is not discussing Nebuchadnezzar, it's discussing something else. That's part of the discussion. Is this a continuation of the previous Pasuk? It would seem so, because the previous Pasuk told us that Nebuchadnezzar, he built his palace, he built his dynasty upon a foundation of Gezel, and this Pasuk says exactly the same thing. Woe to the man who builds a city, Bidamim, through blood. Damim is dam, through blood. V'choinein kirya, and woe to the man, we repeat the word ohoi, we repeat the word woe to the man who has established a kirya, a city, be'avla, through wrongdoing, through transgression. Is this a continuation or is this a new topic? We'll see in one moment. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Haloi, behold, hinei. Haloi, hinei really are two words which mean the same thing. Okay, if we would say haloi, we would be satisfied. If we would say hinei, it's really the same thing. It's the same type of expression, is it not? Behold, or a rhetorical statement, is it not? Me'es Hashem Tzivakos. What has happened is an event that has come forth from Hashem. The Yigu Amim Bidei Esh. The nations will become weary. Yigu means become tired. Bidei Esh. They will weary themselves out through fire. Okay, it obviously means through fire, and the context here of this pasuk means they're going to strengthen themselves to be destroyed. I mean, it means simply they will be burnt in fire. Okay, so there are different interpretations. Either it means they're working to perfect, to manufacture fire. What does that mean? Fire already exists. What do you mean fire? Fire is you don't have to work hard to make fire. Fire is one of the elements of creation. Well, today this is an amazing pasuk. If you want to take this interpretation of the pasuk to read that the Bidei Esh is the subject of V'yigu. The nations of the world are they're competing, they're racing to produce fire, nuclear weapons. This would be a very open, blatant pasuk describing the Cold War. What was the Cold War? Who can nuke the other better, more powerful? Whoever has more nukes wins. Okay, so if you want to translate the words bidei esh as nuclear weapons, because what is a nuclear weapon? What is a nuclear weapon? I mean, I don't know the science behind, but obviously nuclear weapons produces an intensity of heat, a fire that's beyond our understanding. When you split an atom, it creates all of these people that are in the vicinity of the splitting of an atom are vaporized. Now, vaporization occurs at extreme temperatures. So if you take this pasuk very literally, yigu means they're tired. They are competing. They are racing. This pasuk can very, very easily be understood as a prophecy that Habakkuk said 2,000 years before his time, referring to the Cold War. United States, Soviet Union, Cuba, and all the other, the whole cast of characters that participated in the Cold War, each one was struggling to have more nuclear weapons, better nuclear weapons, or if you want to go back to the Manhattan Project. Okay, the Manhattan Project, the United States, who will come up with the nuclear weapon first? Will Russia come up with it first, with the United States? Will the Nazis, who will get their hands on it first? The nations are exerting themselves, bidei esh, to produce fire, ul'umim, bidei rik yafu, and the nations. Okay, this is describing something else, which maybe we don't even know what this means yet. Bidei rik yafu. Yafu means they're tired. Maybe this would be describing our generation, where everyone is struggling, is competing to produce nothing. We live in the rat race. What is everyone in this world trying to achieve now? Nothing. Just who has more money, more wealth, more success? What's the goal? Where are we going today? We're living in a world where we're competing with each other to achieve wealth. And then what do we do with all of the wealth? Nothing. What hana do we have at all of the success and the wealth? Bidei rik. The nations of the world are tired of competing to produce rik. Rick is nothing. Yafu, they are exhausted. So if I was very bold, I would tell you that Pasuk Yud Gimel, this entire section, this entire thing over here is an entirely new section, and it's describing over here a later event in world history. Pasuk Yud Beis is describing the building of a city bedam through blood. What is that describing? I don't know. Are we describing the United States? I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say that the United States has been built through bloodshed. Can't say that. It's not true. Do you want to say the Chayin Kirya Ba'Avla? They stole this country from the Indians, and that's called an Avla? I don't know. You want to go talk about the European nations? How they were built? How Poland and all these countries established themselves? I have really no idea. I don't know the history. But it's describing of the Pasuk Yud Beis about different empires and dynasties that were established through blood and established through Avla, through wrongdoing. And then Pasuk Yud Gimel would appear to be describing our generation. I mean, describing fire. They are tired in their competition to produce fire. Again, as I said, it really fits well with describing trying to compete in acquiring weapons of mass destruction, which are typically understood in reference to heat. And then there's after that is Rick, the pursuit to compete the global economy to be more successful and to have more wealth, all for who and for what? Pasuk Yudalid, ki timole haaretz, lo das etz kavod Hashem. Ultimately, we have a blessing from Chavakuk, the earth will be filled to know the honor of Hashem, kamayim yichasu al yam. This is a very, very famous expression, that the degree of knowing the honor of Hashem will be equivalent to water covering the yam. Just like water covers 2/3 of the world is water. The majority of the world is mayim, so too the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem. And does that mean that when the end of days, when Mashiach comes, we're only gonna have 2/3 of the world will know Hashem? I have no idea, because it limits it to kemayim yichasu al yam. That's only 2/3 of the world. I'm not exactly sure. Okay, let's just at least now, we have a few minutes left. Let's at least just do the mitzudos stav the pasuk yibeis.
I just want, yes, Rabbi Levine, this pasuk is not the famous one. Similar.
Okay, you're right. I know you're right. Correct. What's the other pasuk in Yeshaya? The famous one is in Yeshaya.
Ki malah haaretz de'a es Hashem kamayim. What is the rest of it? Something mechasim.
You're right. I think one of the mefarshim is going to quote that pasuk. You are correct. Okay. Let's just read the mitzudos David pasuk yibeis. Pasuk yibeis. I assume you have the mitzudos David. Hoy boyne. Now the Mitzudos David learns ata b'olam chazoin ha'amur al keitz ha'geula umapeles edoim ha'macharif habayis hasheni v'amar oy al ha'boyne ir b'damim. According to the Mitzudos, this is not a continuation of the Nebuchadnezzar. We're now shifting to the fourth malchus. Until now, we have been discussing the Nebuchadnezzar. There are four malchus: Bavel, Parasumodai, Yavon, Edoim. We're now jumping ahead to number four. We're skipping. We're done now with the Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to number four. We're going to Edom. In other words, we are describing our generation. Ikvus de Mashiach, the fall of Malchus Edom. Nachamol, ata now, Boloimar, Hechazoin, a vision. Ha'amur al Keitz Ha'geula, Umapeles Edom. Hamachariv Ha'bayis Hasheni, who has destroyed the Bayis Sheni. The Amr Oy al Haboini Ir Bidamim, Ki Rotzach Nefesh V'Yorash Choin. They've committed murder, they've inherited wealth, Uvono Kirach Godol. So basically, the entire.
In your text, yes. Do you have Edom or do you have Akum?
In my text, what did I read? I read here.
Mapolas.
Edom, not Akum. Okay, the censor.
The censored version.
This is Mapelas Edom. Hamachrev Abayasheni. So we're describing over here what Edom, the Malchus, the dynasty of Rome. Rome, Western civilization is all built upon the principle of bloodshed. That's what it says. The Choinen Christianity. Okay, the Holy Roman Empire. It's not holy and it's not an empire. The Holy Roman Empire was built on bloodshed. The religion of love, the pasuk here says, is no religion of love. It's blood. It's murder. V'choinen. V'chafal hadav b'milashoinai. So here we have poetic repetition. Next pasuk Yud Gimel, the last pasuk, which gives the ultimate prophecy. Meis Hashem yovei lo hagamol v'lo b'mikra. The day will come when they will be punished. V'yigu amim. Ha'amim asher be'edom yigu behar be'esh. This that they work hard to strengthen themselves. Now the Mitzudas David does not have the hindsight, does not have the perspective of us living in the year 2020. It's so convenient to live in 2020. 2020 is hindsight, right? So it's so convenient, but he does have the perspective of understanding that there is a weapon in this world called Eish, which I like to substitute for nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons is Eish. So because he did not have that perspective, the Mitzudas David learns Psha and the Pasik, the Yigu Amim, the nations, they commit crimes. They're exhausted in their criminal activity, which will result that they will be sent down to burn in the fires of Gehenim. That's what the Mitzudos David said, because there is really no other way to understand the pasuk. Because what else can it possibly mean? That the nations of the world will weary, will struggle, will compete for fire. What do you mean for fire? It means that they will be punished with fire. They will do terrible averos, kama, and they will suffer to be burnt in fire. But I'm telling you that being that we live in the year 2020, lemispodam, and we have the hindsight of understanding that there was something called a competition between the nations of the world to produce the atomic weapon, and subsequently to compete who had more atomic and nuclear weapons. And atomic and nuclear weapons can certainly be symbolized with the metaphor of fire. So we have a whole new perspective in how to translate this pasuk, that we are the Yigu. We have been given the license to interpret this pasuk in reference to Golus Edom, the end, the downfall of Edom. The Yigu Amim, the nations of the world, are competing B'deyesh, over. B'dey means over, concerning, related to fire. Who's going to have more weapons? Who's going to be the winner? Next words of Mitzudas David. So he translates the word rik the same way he translates the word esh, that the result will be nothing. All of their efforts and wars and toil will be for nothing. Ki ein chochmo gvura neged Hashem. But I'm trying to tell you that it means is that there's another war that takes place in this world that is happening today. Today we're not fighting the Cold War. Everyone has whatever they have. No one's competing to have more weapons of mass destruction. Secretly, openly to the world, they're trying to come to an agreement that every nation's going to disarm and reduce their arsenal of nuclear weapons. Even though that we know the truth is that when no one is watching, everyone is trying to gain more weapons. But that's not the main war today. The main war today is Nigalorik Nele Labahola. It's the war to accumulate wealth, to accumulate assets, to have wealth. And for what purpose? For what purpose? Nothing. What do you do with all the money? Let's say you have $1 billion in the bank. What do? You're the same shmegegi like everyone else. You can't go into a hospital. You have to wear a mask. You have to be in quarantine. There's nowhere to go. You can't get on a plane either. With all the money you have in the bank, guess what? You're no different than the homeless guy in the shelter down the block. It's all the same. It's all a war of rick, a war to accumulate nothing. There's absolutely nothing to be gained from extreme wealth. Next, and the pasuk concludes, Ki Timali Ritzon Olayma Bahur Shebnei Yishol Anshe Haaretz Ahi Yimalu Oz Das Hashem Da'ez Oz Das Kon Hashem V'in Yikach Nokam Edom Sheha Shehei Ro'ei Lohem. Ultimately, Edom is going to get what it deserves. Kamayim Yechatsu Al Yom Mekoyim Hamayim Kor Yom. Okay, the Yom means the seabed. That's a famous Yisoid. Yom does not mean water. The literal translation of the word Yam means the seabed. The day will come when the world, the Oretz, will be filled with knowledge of Hashem. Okay, we're living now in that era where people now are coming to, it hasn't happened yet, but to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam with such a magnificent statement. Im Yiratz Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with the Rashi and the other Mefarshim. We'll take now a short break, and today I have a lot of show and tell for you. I have a lot of pictures about the Peos HaRosh and the Peos HaZokon to show you exactly all of the Shiurim. A lot of good stuff today, and a lot of good illustrations, so that will continue with after the break in 2 minutes. I'll see you back then.